You're walking, and as you get to the tomb, what goes through your mind? The fellowships you had with them, maybe it was a husband or it was a wife, the type of companion they were whenever they were with you in this life. You're standing over their tomb, and you're reading their information. What goes through your mind? Joy, maybe some anxiety, the fact that the fellowship is gone, the relationship is gone because of death. From time to time, you and I visit places and we visit graves. And as we look at those graves, we're reminded of how death separates us from people that we love. There is so many things that death does, but there is nothing like the separation that it brings. Every one of us have family or friends that you wish was alive to have fellowship with once again. Jesus Christ had been crucified that Friday. It was 3 o'clock. The Bible says that there was darkness over the face of the earth from 12 to 3. And after Jesus gave up the ghost, they took the body of Jesus down. And since the Sabbath was starting at 6 o'clock, what they had to do to Jesus, they had to do hurriedly. And they had to do quickly. Joseph of Arimathea had asked for the body of Jesus because he was a disciple of Jesus. And he wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. Jesus didn't even have his own grave. He had to use a borrowed grave. And the Bible says they wrapped his body quickly and they placed him in the tomb and they sealed it. Not only was it sealed, but it was, in a sense, doubly sealed because they had heard when that something could happen after 3 days. And there was a guard placed in front of the door for the sake of his life if anything happened to that body. And all of a sudden on that first Easter morning, the Bible records in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 what took place. Listen carefully. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." When Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible records that in that day and time that you would be crucified for either one of two things. You was crucified for either idolatry or you was crucified for blasphemy. In the day and time that Jesus was alive, the Bible says that he claimed to be the Son of God. Now think about this for just a moment. Many people in that day and time had heard a lot about this Jesus. But to claim to be God, to claim to be on the same footing with Almighty Holy God. When Jesus Christ was crucified, buried in the borrowed tomb, and 3 days later rose from the dead, 2,000 years have come and gone. We celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection each year around this time. But the truth about it is, there's a lot of individuals that say, "What in the world does that resurrection have to do with me? What does it have to do with my life? The truth about it is, whether you are aware of it or not, it has everything to do with you personally. It has everything to do with you deliberately. As a matter of fact, the Bible records that when Jesus Christ was being crucified, in Matthew chapter 26, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy." Two things were happening at the cross that would be validated in the resurrection. They thought they was crucifying a man guilty of blasphemy from man's perspective. But from the cross perspective and from God's perspective, Jesus Christ was dying for your sins. Jesus Christ was taking all of your sins, all of your bitterness and all of our hatred, and in that cross act was nailing all of the ordinances of our sins at the cross. But Mary Magdalene, as they saw the dead body, as they helped wrap the dead body probably, that Lord's Day morning, they got up and they was wondering, how in the world are they going to get to this Jesus? How in the world are they going to get behind the stone? I want to share with you three things this morning that is so significant to you and to me about the cross. What does this have to do with you and me 2,000 years later? What is there in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that affects you? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that every one of us are sinners, first of all. You and I need to really come to ownership of our sin nature. It doesn't matter who you are and what you may have accomplished or achieved in life. The Bible makes it very clear that every one of us, whoever we are sinners before holy God. And you say, well, that's not such a big deal. What's wrong with that? Before holy God, every sinner must be executed. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, the soul that sins, it must die or it must be executed. Every sinner under God must be executed. That's why people who live and die without Jesus Christ, there is a coming a day in which their lives will be required of them. But when you come to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Mary and Mary Magdalene, they came to the tomb and they was anticipating to find a dead body there. They hadn't had the opportunity to finish their embalming process because it was the process, by the way, if you're not aware of the custom in that day and time, they'd wrap one leg and then they'd wrap another leg. They'd wrap your torso and then one arm. I've had the opportunity to see a mummy, some 2,500 years old. In Louisville, Southern Seminary, there is a mummy. You can walk into their museum, and there is a mummy, and they give him a name. I forgot what his name is, but they date him back 2,500 years ago, and there is the body wrapped. The leg is wrapped. Other leg is wrapped. The torso is wrapped. The arms are wrapped. Every part. The only thing that's not wrapped is his head, and you can really tell what he looks like because he's just a skeleton, but he was wrapped. And in that day and time, because the reality was if they didn't do something to the body, he would stink. You know, the reality would be that he would, you know, after a short period of time. But what does it do for you and me, this resurrection of Jesus? Well, I want you to follow along, and I want you to look in your outline because you and I need to really understand what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, there's comfort in the empty tomb because here's the reality. There is one that you and I know of that has risen from the dead, and his name is Jesus Christ. That ought to be enough, and we could say amen, and we could leave here. Amen? There is somebody, and that somebody's name is Jesus Christ, and he has validated for all man of all time that there is somebody that has power over death. One of the things that you and I do not have, you don't have power over death. You can amass whatever you want to amass. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's one thing that you cannot get over at the end of the day. At the end of the day, something is going to take you. It may be a heart attack. It may be a stroke. It may be something. But none of us have power over death. You can name whatever great figure from history you want, going all the way back to Alexander the Great. You can name many who have lived throughout time, and whether they be a political figure, social figure, or world-class athlete, but the reality of it is there is absolutely nobody that has ever had or will ever have power over death. of all the people you know and have ever known, movie stars, TV stars, or whoever, outside of Jesus Christ, name one that's rose from the dead. Outside of Jesus, name one. And here's what you and I know. There's nobody that has power over death except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. And whenever you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, from time to time, you'll hear breaking news over CNN or Fox or CBS, ABC, NBC. And they'll say breaking news, something that has been found, an archaeological discovery. You have never heard where anybody has found the bones of Jesus Christ. You've never heard anywhere that that the body of Jesus has been found. Why? Because the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says that the angel spoke to the two women and he announced the angels announced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he was seen by about 500 people. Then the Bible says that Jesus was seen. Paul said he was seen even by me. I saw what this resurrected Jesus looked like. And you see, the wonder of it is, and the thing about it is, so many people are wanting to lead you and me to believe, well, this resurrection, there's nothing to it. Let me tell you this, at the end of the day, whenever you get ready to breathe your last breath and leave this world, you know in your heart and very being that there is something to the person of Jesus Christ. And the thing about it is, you and I know that we're going to live for eternity. But you and I have someone, the comfort in the resurrection is we have someone who has shown he can. Now, what are all the calculations of overcoming death and what's all the mathematical equations and how do you get into all that? I don't know how you overcome death. I don't understand how Jesus did it. I just know that he did it. He rose from the dead. And here's what he says. If anybody believes in me, though he die, he won't die. In other words, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you may breathe your last breath physically, but someday you're going to come up from where you go down. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. And here's what Paul said. He puts his spirit in you, the same spirit that's in Jesus Christ, and you'll get up from the dead someday. And you see, the thing about it is, you and I know that at the end of the day, life is not hopeless. You know, whenever you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is the exclamation part of all mankind that here is somebody somewhere that has resurrected. His resurrection life can be imparted to you if you receive it. Now, some people at the end of the day, they don't want to believe it and they want to live their life and, you know, they just don't want to accept it. And so there's no reality, there's no option for them but to die and be eternally separated from God. But here's the reality. Jesus said every soul that sins must die. But at the cross, here's what happened. Jesus Christ, or God put all of the sin in Jesus Christ, all the lying, the cheating, all the adultery, all the murder, all the rape, all the incest, all the bestiality. God put all of sin of all time into the person of Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? Because we're sinners. There is no hope for you. And in the resurrection, God validated that he accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ as payment. And he does rise from the dead. You can rise from the dead. And the thing about it is, what's so exciting about rising from the dead? Someday I'm going to rise from the dead. Now, listen to me real carefully. Listen to how crazy it sounds. I'm going to rise from the dead. Is it no wonder that the world don't believe that? Is it no wonder that people don't accept that? Sure. But listen, what do you do with Mary and Martha? And what do you do with Simon Peter? What do you do with John? What do you do when they see Jesus and Jesus has risen from the dead? And he says, hello. That's literally what all hell means. You know, if I walk back through the sanctuary and I happen to see my mother sitting in the middle section and I started walking back, she says, hello. I don't know why I'd pass out because my mother died in 1996. That's basically what Jesus did. He said, hello, ladies. In other words, Jesus, you can't be alive because we buried you 3 days ago. You cannot be alive because we saw you tortured. We saw you crucified. Listen, nothing is impossible with holy God. Amen. Aren't you glad that someday when everything's happening, people say, well, I'm so sorry that, listen, you're going to get up again. Jesus said, because you believe in me, you have hope, you have life. He said, whosoever believes in me shall not die, but shall have everlasting life. That is the promise of holy God. That is the comfort from the empty tomb. That is the reminder to you and me that inside every one of us, I know that I know that I know to explain how I know it. It's hard to explain, but I know that I may go down someday, but I'm going to get up. Why? Because his eternal life is in me. If you're a child of God, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then someday you're going to get up from the grave and you're going to be with the Lord God and for all of eternity. You're going to be with him in heaven. Now, that's not the case if you're lost. If you're lost without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. If you choose to die without Jesus. But the comfort of the empty tomb is that there is somebody that has not only raised from the dead, but watch this. He says, I can give you the power to get up from the dead. That's basically what Jesus said in Romans through Paul. He has power over death. He said, I can give it to anybody that believes in me. Anybody that believes in me. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you, if I ask you to raise your hand, say, you know I'm going to get up from the dead someday. I was sharing the sunrise service this morning. I said, you know, when you think about getting up from the dead, you're going to be perfect in every way. You're going to be at the peak of your DNA, whatever that's going to be. Why? Because you're going to be ageless. You're not going to ever age. You're not going to decay. You're going to live for all of eternity. And you know what is so hard? It's hard to get that in these little minds that live on about 70 or 80 years. But that's what Jesus said. The comfort from the empty tomb is that we have somebody who has validated that he can raise from the dead. Second of all, not only is there comfort that somebody is raised from the dead and his name is Jesus, but the Bible says there's comfort because Jesus assures the believer there's life beyond death. Do you know that every one of you believes in eternity? You say, well, now, I don't go to church. I may not go to church a whole lot, but the Bible says you believe in eternity. It doesn't matter who a person may be, whether it's Richard Dawkins, who is one of the most world's foremost atheists, and you know, he wrote a book, Religion and Other Foolish Myths. Every one of us know in ourselves that we're going to live forever. You know why? Because God has programmed you that way. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, I believe it's verse 18, God has set eternity inside of you. You know inside of yourself you're going to live forever. There is something inside of you that knows that you're not going to go back to the dust. You know, there's a lot of folks in this day and time that don't believe in God, don't believe in eternity, or say they don't believe in eternity. And as a matter of fact, some of the latest polls, 7% of Americans declare that they don't believe in God and therefore they don't believe in eternity. That we began as an explosion some about 12.5 million years ago. And we've been evolving in the process and all of that stuff. Now, I want you to use your mind for a moment. Engage your mind. Listen to me real carefully. Listen. Suppose you live only 70 years, 80 years, this earth, and there is nothing after this life. Suppose. Now, I want you to listen. What purpose is there to your living? Think about it for a moment. You raise your children, you bring them up, you go back to the dust, and you stop existing. Let me ask you this. If there is no reason for living, if there's no purpose in living, if all we do is go back to the dust, why don't we just live wild? Why don't we just live like we want to? That's what Paul said. Why don't we do what we want, live what we want? There are a lot of people who do that way. But here is the reality according to the Word of God. God has set eternity inside of you. You are an eternal being. You cannot not exist anymore. There was a time in your life that you did not live and you wasn't in existence. But there will never be a time you will not exist. Every one of us will exist someplace. The Bible makes it very clear that God has said there's, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Do you know how many times God speaks of eternity in his word? All throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, over and over and over and over and over again, God uses the words eternity. Why? Because he wants you and me to be conscious that we're going to live forever. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. There's comfort in because Jesus assures the believer there's life beyond death and the grave. Now, there are some people, whenever you grow up and there's a lot of people who have a lot of different beliefs about death and dying. I've heard some people who believe that you go into the coffin and you're there. I heard one fella, this isn't really comical, but in a sense it is. He said, when you bury me, please don't bury me face up. And he told the funeral director, he said, please bury me with my face down. He said, I've never had that request. He said, please do not bury me face up. He said, could you tell me why? He said, I cannot stand dirt in my face. So he wanted to be buried with his face down. It's amazing all the different types of beliefs. It's amazing what people believe. I heard someone say years ago when they're talking about being buried, said, I don't know if I can be still that long. And I just thought, wait a minute. And you see, it's amazing the weird things that people believe. At the moment you breathe your last breath, the Bible says, absent from the body, if you're a believer, present with the Lord. Aren't you glad that you don't have to go into the coffin when you die as a child of God? Amen? Think about it for a moment. Listen, I know that you can buy a real nice coffin and they're beautiful anymore. You can even buy pockets in the front of them. I had somebody tell me that the other day. I was in a funeral. Funeral director told me, he said, do you know you can buy these? And he said, they've got pockets right here if you want to take stuff with you. You know, you can put them in the front pocket or put them on the side pockets. And whatever you want to put in them, you can put in your coffin. Listen, I don't know about you, but I am glad that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus tells me, Benny, there's comfort in my resurrection because those who believe in me, there's hope beyond the grave. There's hope beyond death. And that hope is found only in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you see, the wonder of it all is this. You know, those disciples who was with Jesus, and some of them were martyred, some of them were executed. They're with him in a more precious way now. But you know, the Bible makes it clear that you're going to live forever. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. God came to the rich young ruler who was amassing wealth for himself and said, you fool, this very night your soul shall be required of thee. You know, God didn't tell that rich man that he was not going to exist. You're going to exist. If you're a child of God, there's comfort because you have hope in the resurrection. Charlotte and I talk from time to time, and you probably talk with your family. What's it like in heaven? What's it like over there? What's it like, you know, and you think about that? Listen, since Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible makes it very clear. You and I have hope. There's hope beyond the grave. It's amazing if you study some of the Old Testament individuals and some of the Pharaoh's beliefs, what they believed about the afterlife. You're going to live forever. The issue is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in him? The comfort of the empty tomb assures the believer that there's life beyond death. You know, you stop and think about it a moment. You know, when you leave this world, some of you just had family members that have died recently. And here's where it hits close to home. You stand beside the coffin of a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. You didn't want them to die. But you hear the words of Jesus ring in your heart. He who believes in me shall never die. He who believes in me, they're going to be resurrected. Now, sometimes somebody will ask me, say, preacher, explain to me completely the resurrection. And I can explain it real quickly. Listen real carefully. I'm going to explain the resurrection real quickly so you can know everything about it. I don't know. I don't know all the details, but here's what I do know. Those who believe in Jesus Christ are coming up. Do you remember you recall the passage of Scripture that many of the saints of God got up? Many of the saints of God got up and they walked back into Jerusalem. Imagine that being today and many of your sainted parents walking in the door. How you doing? Not seen you in 75 years. You doing all right? The Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be a honeymoon with the Lord. That's what's going to happen. The Bible says it because we have a risen Lord. We have a risen hope. You know, the Bible says in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now think about it a minute. That is the silliest verse. What does it mean? If it doesn't mean what it says, it means exactly what it says. You die, if you have a belief in Jesus Christ, you're going to live for all of eternity. But if you discard Jesus, you say, I'm not into that religious stuff. There are a lot of foolish people who say, well, I'm not into religion. Let me tell you one thing you're going to be into someday. You're going to be into dying. You're going to be into dying. You can't stop that. And all that stuff that you call silly stuff, religious stuff, I'm not into that. You're going to find that it's very needed the day you get ready to leave this world. Just this past week, I heard about a death, pretty much an instant death of someone that I had got to know. And he died suddenly. He didn't have any anticipation of dying. Nobody does. Somebody walked into his house and he was sitting on the couch and they went over to touch his body and he was cold. Probably died on his couch of a heart attack. I don't know all the details, but I know it was quick. But here's the reality. Now listen carefully, friend. You say, I don't understand it all, but here's the reality. We're sinners, and sin requires execution before a holy God. That's the facts. Every one of us in this sanctuary are sinners, and sin before a holy God requires execution. That's why God says the soul that sins, it must die. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, he said, I took all of your execution on me. I took all of your sin on me. But if you reject me, there's nobody left to pay for your sins but yourself. There's nobody left to pay for your sins. And you see the empty tomb? Is that a reminder to me? Lord, someday I'm going to get up from the dead. I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to have a brand new body. I don't know what color my hair will be. I don't know how tall I'll be, probably about my same height, because I'll be completely me. I don't know exactly what my voice will sound like, but it'll probably be a lot like it sounds right now, only able to last for eternity. Can't you just enjoy the thought of having the opportunity to be able to talk and your voice not wearing out? Having the ability to fellowship. That's exactly what's going to happen. And third, there is comfort because every believer is going to experience a bodily resurrection. For just a minute, I look around this sanctuary and I see all of us at different phases in our bodies. You know, when we get a little bit older, here's a phrase we say more and more. I remember when. You ever notice that? I remember when. I heard a fellow the other day, he said, I can't even tie my shoes anymore. I can't even bend down. He said, I bought one of these grabbers so I could pick up everything. And I'd use it to pick up everything around me because he said I couldn't bend down. I couldn't pick up stuff. Then he said, I dropped my grabber. Some of us are that way. I stood over the bed of my dad just the other day, and I remember when in his life, I remember when Dad was a younger man, and he and I would go out behind the Cooper Elementary School, and he'd have a baseball bat and baseball. Now, baseball bat and a baseball. He didn't just take a bat. He took. And I'd get way out there, and he'd hit me fly balls, and we'd just have a lot of fun. That was remember when. That was 40 years ago. And I look at him as he's aging, and I ask this question, what will I look like if I'm alive at that point? What will my body look like at 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? Now listen carefully. If you're a child of God, there's one thing you look forward to. It is that wonderful time that you're going to have a bodily resurrection. Amen? I want you to look carefully in this copy of the scripture, in the passage of scripture. I want you to listen to what Jesus says because I want you to get a picture of the glorified body. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher. This is talking about Mary, Mary Magdalene, with fear, but great and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, all hail, or hello. Watch carefully. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Do you get the picture? The Bible says this is the resurrected Jesus. And the Bible says he's the first fruits of them that rose from the dead. Let me explain what that means. He is the exact preview of what's going to take place to you and me. Sometimes somebody will say, and Scripture does say, we're going to have a spiritual body, what Paul says. But here's the reality. You have a spiritual aspect to your being right now, but you're still a real person. And the Bible says that when they came to Jesus, they held him by the feet. Why is that so important? Because sometimes somebody will come along and say, well, what type of body are we going to have? Are we going to be like ghosts floating around on air? No, we're not going to be floating around on air. You're going to have a glorified, wonderful, brand new human body that God has prepared for you. You know, you're going to be able to fellowship. Think about it a minute. Remember what Jesus said when he's talking about eating and drinking? He said, I won't eat of this or drink of this until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You know what Jesus is saying? There's going to be a time you're going to have a brand new body. And Jesus makes it clear in this passage. Listen, the disciples at one point thought they saw a spirit, but here's the reality. Jesus was a real person. He rose a real person. It wasn't some phantom. As a matter of fact, in Luke's gospel, the Bible says that they gave him something to eat. They stood and watched him. Why? Because they'd never seen a resurrected body eat. How many of you have seen a resurrected body eat? Raise your hand. No wonder they looked at him. And Jesus said, fellas, this is what it's going to be like for you. You're going to have a brand new glorified body. Paul put it in a wonderful way in Corinthians. He said, I want you to understand. I want you to know those who believe in Jesus Christ are going to have a brand new body. You're going to have a body that's going to live and not wear out. And the Bible says you're going to work. Say, oh, Lord, don't talk to me about work. Think about it for a moment. Working without tiring, working without somebody fussing at you and jumping on you. Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody in Corbin was a Christian? Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody in Corbin not only was a Christian, but they loved one another? Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody in Corbin was a Christian and loved one another and served one another and gave themselves one another? So, man, that would be heaven on earth. That's exactly the picture. You and I are going to have a brand new body. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I want to tell you this. I'm telling you this strange and wonderful secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be given new bodies. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, there will be a trumpet blast from the sky. All the Christians who have died will suddenly come alive with new bodies that will never, never die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies. For our earthly bodies, the one we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish, but will live forever. Now get this picture for just a moment. Paul says, the trump will sound. The dead in Christ will get up, and they'll be given a brand new body. And all of us that are alive and children of God will be given instantaneously a brand new body. How is God going to do it? He's God. He knows how he's going to do it. But before I could walk off the stage, it could happen. You see, if there's no Jesus, there's no hope. There's a lot of people that's going to miss heaven because they just really don't see their need of Jesus. You may be one of them. You may be here this morning and you don't fall into the category of being a believer in Jesus Christ. You believe religion is good for some people, But under the edict of Holy God, I am commanded to tell you the truth. Under the declaration of Holy God, as a servant of the Most High God, I must tell you what will happen to you if you reject Him. According to Holy God, the Bible says what will happen to you if you die rejecting Jesus. Your sins will be upon you. You will be banished in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, away from God, away from His presence, into a place that the Bible calls torment. In torment, you will lift your eyes regularly, but you will realize in torment that there is no hope for you. You will realize in torment that your location is sealed, your fate is sealed, your destiny is sealed, and you can never get out. You will realize before Holy God that you absolutely rejected the only one who could pay for your sins. Friend, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to die that way. I wouldn't want to die with the reality that my sins were on me. You say, but I don't understand it all. I can tell you this, nobody does. But here's what I do know. There is somebody that's taken your sins, and He has nailed all the sins of your total life at the cross when He died. And His resurrection reveals to you, you can have that resurrection life. But here's what God won't do. He won't make you accept it. He won't make you be saved. He won't make you have eternal life. But here's what you will know. You will know someday there was a preacher that preached to you about the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you will know then that you should have listened and responded. Because every sin, every sinner must be executed. That is the declaration of Holy God. You can accept the execution of Jesus Christ and His resurrection for you, or you'll have to suffer it yourself. There are no middle ground. But to all of us who believe, we're going to be eternally ageless. We're going to be eternally worshiping the Lord God, all because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You so much for the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, this day we celebrate. We celebrate the resurrection. Father, the resurrection, the coming back to life of Jesus Christ, which is a reminder that we're going to come back to life if we die. That's Your word. And Father, it is so illogical from a human vantage point. It is so hard to believe from a human vantage point, but we have Your word on it, and it's going to happen. And nothing is impossible to Holy God. Father, I pray for that man, that woman who is sitting here this morning, and they're not prepared to meet You. They're not saved. Father, I pray for them. And Father, I pray that You would have Your will and Your way in this invitation is our heart's prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.